back to His Time. It is Monday, Holy Monday, April 14th, and it is time to check in with Pastor Joshua Scheer from Brothers of John the Steadfast. Good morning, Pastor Scheer.
Good morning, Andy. How are we doing?
Oh, we're doing all right. Thanks. How are things for you this Holy Monday?
Things are very, very good.
Well, good, good.
Although we did go from 70 degrees down to like 20s in snow, so.
it's dropping quickly here in St. Louis.
Yeah, I'd imagine you guys are going to get it today, so, yeah, so. Indeed. Otherwise, things are going very good. We do enter Holy Week this week, and all the great opportunities to hear God's word and receive His gifts that come with that. It's a good week. Very good week.
Well, good. Good. What do you have for us this week on Brothers of John the Steadfast, steadfastlutherans.com?
Yeah. We had a good week last week. We have some articles coming up that are preparing for this week. But also, I'll start out with the first one. It's a two-parter, and the second part will be out this week. And it's, again, from our Redeeming Holy Days from Pagan Lies series, in which it's entitled Redeeming Holy Days from Pagan Lies, Easter 1. And what it goes into is the dating for Easter and selecting which date the church has for Easter. And it's, of course, over and against all of the criticism leveled at the traditional church, the historic church that does have a church year calendar and celebrates, you know, church holidays at certain times of the year that don't necessarily always match the same date every year. But Pastor Joe Abrahamson of the ELS, the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, he put together this series, and this Easter one is very important because, of course, a lot of people will even go as far as to say that they will not say the word Easter because they say that Easter is from the pagan goddess Easter. Well, in the second post that will be released this week, he'll deal with that. But that's actually not, but the word Easter itself predates any mention of the other word for the goddess. But this week he talked a lot about how the dating for Easter comes about. And of course, it's related to the book of Exodus and the celebration of the Passover, which is, of course, what we get from the Gospels. That everything is revolving around the Passover. This is why the Jews have to do what they do with Jesus. This is why they can't go into certain areas because they don't want to be unclean for the Passover. This is why they have to hurry and get him down off the cross. This is why all these different things happen because it's all centered around the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
So the claim that the dating or the timing of Easter is pagan in origins is just plain silly. Now, what's interesting is that the early church took March 25th as the date of Christ's death, but they also took it as the date of his conception, and they also took it as the date of the creation. And so they combined all these things together in order to confess something about Christ, that, of course, he's both true God and true man. So creation as well as incarnation, tying those things together, that Christ is God and man, confessing the two natures of Christ. And so even if you're going to look at, March 25th for the creation, March 25th for the incarnation, doesn't quite make total sense because that's an ancient belief that it had to be tied to the date of the death and so forth. Well, the church then still was trying to confess something theologically true. That is, of course, that Jesus is both true God and true man. And so Pastor Abrahamson does a great job of kind of explaining some of that stuff and talks, of course, about how in the early church there was debates about whether do you celebrate Easter, do you celebrate it on the actual day of Passover, or do you celebrate it on the Sunday? And, of course, there we look to the scriptures and we find that in the scriptures the earliest church continued to go to Sundays. That the day in which Christ was raised from the dead was more important than the date. So we follow the apostolic practice there, that these things are very good. And so this whole series is, of course, designed to kind of confront these pagan lies that are out there. And sadly, of course, there's a lot of Christians who grab onto these, and then they think it's hip or cool or something to try to talk to other Christians and say, oh, well, you and your Easter stuff, that's not appropriate. So so it's a lot of ways that happens. And even your Christian friends can bring this stuff up, and at least if you read this phrase, you might be prepared to kind of say, hey, wait a second. That's not really what the true historical record shows on this. Let's look at this. So we got that going on. Otherwise, I've got a couple other posts. One is on, it's called The Problem of Denominational Loyalty. And I'll explain that phrase a little bit. I think it's been lamented lately that denominational loyalty is going down, that people are much more open to just kind of changing churches, changing around, switching things up, because, of course, they want to just go with whatever they want to go with. Now, that can be bad, but it depends why they're changing. And if they're changing because of changing beliefs, well, that's one thing. And I think that's what Pastor Anderson's really getting at here, is that instead of denominational loyalty, we should really be more concerned about, like, confessional fidelity or doctrinal purity, maybe he puts it, but that the teachings are what matter. Because, of course, in the course of history, church bodies, denominations have come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so while we strive to be with the church body that has the best confession, shows the most confessional fidelity and faithfulness, and then we strive to keep that church body there, knowing full well that the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature are always fighting against a pure confession, that we work with those things and try to strive to keep them there. And not only that, but then also encourage one another to keep striving towards that goal of keeping out the leaven, of guarding and keeping the words of Christ, rather than succumbing to all the temptations of the world. Or, you know, it's just easier not to deal with these things sometimes, and that's, of course, the temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And so the article on denominational loyalty is pretty good. It talks a little bit about maybe some of the issues we've had in the LCMS, which is also good. It's not a bad thing to talk about those things. It's good to talk about, again, encourage one another, that, hey, maybe we're veering off course on some things. We need to be called back to the Word. There's nothing wrong with that. That's always a good thing, especially, I mean, Holy Week's a great week to be called back to the Word. So that's always a great thing. So the other one I have is an article by a layman, T.R. Halverson, up in Montana. It's his fifth of five midweek devotionals, and he writes it called Life Support, Agony, and the Fullness of Redemption. And there he talks about the suffering of Christ in the garden, as his whole series has focused on different parts of that part of Monday, Thursday, moving into Good Friday, of Christ in the garden. And so he talks a little bit about how Christ is struggling, sorrowful even unto death, that his soul is exceedingly sorrowful even to death. And he talks about the development of that to death, that Jesus is literally saying, I'm dying here. You know, that the wrath, all this has already come upon him. And so he talks about how God would then send an angel to not necessarily comfort him or anything like that, but to strengthen him, that he would die at the appropriate time, in the appropriate manner, in the appropriate place, as foretold in the Scriptures, so that, of course, all those apostles writing those good books of the Scriptures can respond with, you know, as it was written, as we hear throughout the church here about Jesus, as it was written, the fulfillment of so much Old Testament good stuff. So I would commend that to your listeners to take a look at that series if they haven't already. But great stuff, reminding us, of course, of what our Savior has done for us, and that it's not just locked away in time, but, of course, that message and the Word of God brings that to us with all of its power and efficacy even today. Great news for the good week to come here, especially, of course, as pastors get ramped up to
mm-hmm.
have a very busy week. But this is a great week. This is the week when we have more and more hearers coming to church more and more times to hear that Word of God, specifically that Word of Christ crucified. And then, of course, as Sunday comes, we can bring back out all the different churchly stuff, celebrate Christ raised from the dead. So,
amen.
Good week to come.
Amen. Well, I look forward to checking in with you next week after we celebrate this Holy Week and Resurrection.
Amen to that.
Well, blessings to you on this Holy Week, Pastor, and we'll catch up and chat again on Monday.
Excellent. Sounds good, Andy. Take care. Have a blessed Holy Week.
Thanks, you too. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll check in with Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO.